Okay, after a delay, I will call to order the Minor Groundwater Sustainability Agency adjourned regular board meeting of December 13, 2023, in person, and it's on Zoom for viewing only. Thank goodness. Public comment information, public comments will be accepted in person at the meeting or may be submitted by email prior to the meeting and find at USA public comment at chicoca.gov. If you'd like to address the board at this meeting, you are requested to complete a speaker card and hand it to the clerk prior to the conclusion of the staff presentation for that item. We will see if we actually are going to do items and based on how we go. Linda, could you take the role at your convenience?
Yes. Morales?
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Here.
Board Member Cooper?
Here.
Vice Chair Warren?
Here.
Chair Chasinski?
Here. Now, just for the order of events, would we like to go into closed session now? And if we do, do we want to cap it at a half an hour? And if we need more, do it after the regular agenda? We're already kind of late, so that's what I was just trying to ask you. Or should we just go into closed session? And if it takes too long, we'll just postpone the items that are on the regular agenda to the next meeting.
It would be helpful, though, we do need some direction on a couple of those items because we did add the items to the agenda.
Okay, then we'll just do the items that are necessary. So. Well, let's adjourn to closed session. We'll see how closed session is going. We don't want to keep everybody here for an hour. So if closed session starts to drag to more than an hour, we'll go. Jim, I'm sorry, did you want to make a comment about closed session? I was just about to.
Yes.
Okay, then we'll take a comment on closed session. Jim?
Let me know when you're ready, Chair.
We're ready. Thank you so much.
Okay, the closed session item for Butte County Superior Court 23CV02789, the Aqua Alliance lawsuit. That is on your list of things you're going to be reviewing. The Vina GSP was criticized by 5 of the 10 members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee as a failure that would, the Vina GSP was criticized as a failure that would create a cascade of undesirable results. These SHAC members represent Chico State University, Butte College, domestic well owners, the business community, and the environmental community. There are numerous reasons Alliance has filed a legal complaint about the Vina plan. The operating range of aquifer levels allowed is are significantly lower than the historic lowest groundwater levels. The Vina plan rationalizes that undesirable results can't legally occur during dry years. In the real world, dry years will likely produce the greatest impacts to domestic well users and the human environment. The Vina Groundwater Sustainability Plan accepts parameters that will cause hundreds of wells to fail. The plan accepts monitoring well thresholds that are unreasonably low, including some that are approximately 200% below normal operating ranges. These management targets will result in reduced stream flow and vegetation withering, including the Chico urban forest. There's no reason to set the objective at historic low levels, according to the SGMA Act. According to the Act, measurable objectives may establish the GSAs may establish measurable objectives that exceed the margin of operational flexibility for the purpose of improving overall conditions in the basin, but failure to achieve these objectives shall not be grounds for finding of inadequacy of the plan. That's my comments before you go to closed session to talk about this and the lawsuit. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there are no disqualifications, then we will head into closed session. Is there anything, Jim?
Well, I was just going to say, is it possible, and I know you've already made this to closed session, but is it possible where we can continue the closed session to the end, or can we start it and then that have it only because we have?
Valerie, I'm assuming that we could move to the open agenda because, frankly, with the technical trouble, we've now given people a chance to come. If they extrapolated that, the closed session would take a certain, take a little while, and then this would be a subsequent thing. So could we do what Kim suggested, or because of the agenda, we need to go into closed session?
Can you hear me? This is Val.
You're clear, yes.
Yeah, I think the question is, can you take items out of order? And the answer is yes. You can move items off the agenda out of order. So if you wanted to take a closed session later, you're welcome to do that. If the question is, can you take public comment on them? You can always take public comment at the beginning of a meeting on items not on the agenda. But if they are items on the agenda, then public comment needs to come whenever those are taken at the board. So okay. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, so because we just took Jim's public comment, we need to go into closed session.
No, we can move with you.
Okay, great. Then with unanimous consent of the board,
yes,
we will move to the regular agenda. So here we won't forget what you said, and you also submitted it to us in writing. So great, so let us go to the regular agenda, and that will be moving all the way down to item 7, public comments. Member of the public may address the board at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The board cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda.
We have one, Richard Kuhn.
Okay. Jim, Richard Kuhn put in a speaker card, so if you'd like to speak.
Oh, I put in a speaker card.
He also did too. Sorry, Jim wrote that was before.
I apologize. No problem.
He had multiple on there in the 7th.
Okay, no problem. Okay, Jim, please.
Okay, for the record, I'm Jim Brobeck. I represent the environmental community. In July, the Department of Water Resources conditionally approved the VINA Groundwater Sustainability Plan. DWR wrote that since the VINA plan is choosing to manage the subbasin below historic lows, the approval recommended detailed corrective actions. The corrective actions included removing the dry year condition that bypasses identifying undesirable results resulting from low groundwater levels. It included describing the relationship between the minimum thresholds of groundwater levels on impacts to domestic wells and evaluate the impacts of minimum thresholds on other beneficial uses and users, including environmental users. The environmental community expects the VINA board, management committee, and department staff to complete these recommended corrective actions detailed above soon, rather than waiting for the 5-year review deadline to do so. Some of the other corrective actions will require developing a better understanding of interbasin flows. This might require analyzing existing data and developing new data and models. Thanks for taking my comment.
Thank you for giving it. Mr. Kuhn.
Good evening. My name is Richard Kuhn, and I'm a kind of a grumpy farmer from the North County, but I'm not here in an adversarial role. I'm just confused because of and we all know the fees were wrong. The acreage was GIS based, and it was wrong. But what I'm concerned about
in progress.
It's okay. What was Dan back?
No.
Now we're okay.
What I'm concerned about is we've corrected the overages over the overcharges over $5. A lot of our neighbors, because we called the newspaper and the newspaper published it, said, "Well, I was overcharged by $1.20. How do I get my $1.20 back?" We don't have an answer for that. The Board of Supervisors didn't either yesterday. But what I'm really concerned about is the underages, because it affects all of our bottom line, in the sense that that's a lot of money. Is there a way that you're going to be able to have corrected bills next year or in the spring? For example, I mean, I was teasing Todd because Todd's at $1.48 an acre. But my good friend Wally Roney in a 500 acre parcel is at $1.49.58. But since it's 500 acres, it's $19.96 under. How are we going to get that collectively? Because we all want it to work. I'm on your side. How are we going to get that money back? Here's one that these are just randoms. This is our direct next door neighbor on Wookiee Road. He was at $1.50 an acre. Here's another one. on Harvest Lane in Durham, California. Also, I know, I'm just teasing you. $1.50 an acre. The optics aren't good for our team. We need to fix this. And I know it's expensive to send out corrected tax bills to every single one of the Vina GSA parcels, but we have to come out and say something publicly, like, this is what we're going to do to make it right. I know on the website, Cammie, you put that overages above $5 will have a corrected bill. But what about the undercharges? And then we get to us and we were corrected. We got a corrected bill and we're at $1.54. That's all I'm saying. Let's figure out how to do this and capture the undercharge, because that's our collective money. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. Yep. Okay. We're not allowed to act on that. We'll go to the next things. We'll notice a public hearing. So on the regular agenda, 9.1, update of the GSA program manager recruitment and assignment of board member representative to review / interview team. Verbal report from the management team. I assume that can be counted. Did you write it, or should I not assume it?
That would be me. So, as you just read, we are we've initiated the thank you trip. She's been scamming my brain is like a million in spot. So, thank you. Yes, as you know, we have initiated the recruitment of a program development manager position with the Department of Water and Resource Communication of Butte County, and that person would serve as the GFA program manager. As described in the cost share agreements, that was approved by all of the boards, Vina GSA, Wyandotte Creek, and the Board of Supervisors signed off on it on October 11th. And then the appointed GSA board, so we have the, and I provided you a copy of the recruitment document. We have some extras here for those that want it in the audience. Just a little background, the opening date of that recruitment started in November, on November 20th, and it does close this Sunday. And we have, from what I understand, we do have some applications that have been received. The last time we checked was probably about a week ago. There were six so far, and what the process is that the county will sort through them, see if they're qualified, and then move them forward to kind of rank them. And then move them forward. So what we anticipate is that for the interview process and this has come up before, is that we'll have an initial interview panel made up of about five people, including our department's assistant director, Christina, and then representatives from some of the member agencies, as well as the boards. And so what we're asking is if the GSA board would like to appoint a representative to serve on that initial panel for that recruitment process.
Great, thanks, Cammie. Now, normally it would be easy because there might be somebody absent. You know, if you're absent, you always get the assignment. But since we're all here, is the board like to nominate somebody for this to be part of this process?
I would nominate our vice chair, Jeff Royer. No?
Don't have the number.
Okay. Then I would nominate our chair.
I'll make the time for it. I'm not in the no integration view, my job is more flexible than his on the mark. So yeah. I'll say my colleagues are okay. Do we need a formal vote on that or just ask a recommendation?
Second motion.
Aye. There we go. We have a motion and a second. Linda, let's do a vote.
Okay. Board Member Reynolds?
Aye.
Board Member Kimishu?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ward and Chair Tuszynski.
Aye.
Thank you.
And that's extended. What we need on that, correct?
Yes. And we'll, once we have all the, who we know is going to be on that panel, try and bring the date for interviews, not on Christmas.
Okay. 9.2, update on the status of projects funded by the Sustainable Groundwater Management Grant Program. Management Committee, I think this might be Christina. Or is it
yes. Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, thank you. Just know about assistant director with the Department of Water and Resource Conservation. I'm gonna try to share, you know, push your microphone. I believe it works here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm just going to give a brief update on the status of these things. Let's see. On the status of the projects that are funded by the grant. There we go. So I first want to just step back for a second. It's been a few months since we talked about this, and there's kind of a lot of moving parts. But just to remind ourselves kind of where we are, and that, you know, as you know, there's two GSAs in this, that they need partnered with our Creek Reclamation District to adopt the GSP and our sustainability plan. And so when you think about near-term responsibilities and activities that need to be done by the GSAs, including these four main bubbles, that is the annual report up to each April 1st of each year, and that is underway for this coming year. We have a consultant on board, and Kelly has been managing that work from our office. We do need to address the recommended corrective actions that were in the approval determination level letter that we received from the Water Resources in July. And that needs to be done by the periodic evaluation of the GSP, which the GSA needs to do and submit to the Department of Water Resources. That five-year kind of evaluation is the self-evaluation of what's the current conditions, how are you doing, are you doing what you said you were going to do in your GSP, do you need to make changes? And that all gets documented in what they call the periodic evaluation. So that gets due in January of 2027, and that's an opportunity to address those things at least by that time, if not before. As well as the other kind of main bubble there is implementation activities that we identified in the GSP, things that we said we were going to do, which include things like data gaps and advancing some of the projects and management actions that we prioritize, things like that. So fortunately, we are in this position of having about $5.5 million in grant funding to help us do those things. And really that funding is going in to some degree in some respect to all four of those bubbles there. So that's what we're talking about again tonight. We're going to highlight that as we move into this implementation phase of life as a GSA, it will take the village, and we've been partnering with many organizations as they've been kind of tracking the work of this organization, the GSA, and the development of the GSP. These are all organizations that either provided a letter of support to the application itself, or were listed as a potential partner or entity that would be involved in one of the PMA's projects or management actions that's in the GSP. So right, there's already kind of these existing relationships with a variety of organizations that really can help provide input as all to develop as these projects go forward. There are avenues for outreach and education, right, with the GSA, communicates what's happening here, and they could potentially be local project sponsors. So when we talk about local project sponsors, in other work that our department has done, the department has been the grantee or the recipient of the grant, but the projects are really projects of other agencies, like the Sewer Commission of Warville Region have the Great County Project. And so the county is kind of the pastor for that entity to do an infrastructure project that essentially was grant funded. So that's kind of that global project sponsor idea, that it increases the capacity of the GSAs to meet their responsibilities by partnering and collaborating in different ways with other entities, and local project sponsors can be part of that. They kind of take on a project. So status update on the grant, where that is at. Our to-do list, right, is to establish that grant agreement with the Department of Water Resources. That is in the works, and DWR seems to be highly motivated to get these grant agreements executed, so that's great. We have a draft agreement in process. I'll talk a little bit more about that. And I think I'm hoping to get them executed close to the end of the year. The second piece is competitive process to select contractors or consultants that will help with the technical aspects of those projects. The Vineyard GSA did issue a request for proposals on November 27th for some of the projects, the grant funded projects, and those proposals are due on January 9th. In addition, the department, who we talked about in the past, has been a subrecipient to do some of the other pieces of the grant funded projects, has also issued an RFP for some of those projects. So right now, they're out there in consultant labs to look at and propose on by January. The next piece is establishing subrecipient agreements. So through the county, and we're going to talk about another option on that. You need to get those in place in January, and then also be negotiating and executing consulting contracts, hopefully early February after those proposals have been received. So that's kind of, we've got these three different balls kind of moving in parallel together. hoping that they all kind of come together in January. Okay, so like I said, the draft grant agreement is in the works. Per your direction, we had a discussion, I believe it was in August, where after we knew that the grant was awarded, we had gone through a lot of prioritization, right? We pulled things apart kind of to be able to prioritize 10 different components for the application in case it was partially funded. As you know, it was fully funded. So all of those different tasks have been kind of reoriented into these more consolidated projects that we had talked about. So there are seven components that are going to show up in the grant agreement. The grant agreement is essentially a playbook, right, for what the GSA will accomplish with that money and the deliverables that DWR expects to receive from us to receive that funding. So these are the seven components that are consistent with your board direction from August 2023. And essentially, right, DWR and Find GSA will have the grant agreement. We will have, as Cammy just talked about, a GSA manager that will begin to partly help coordinate this work. But certainly more than one, actually, that's a partially funded GSA manager, right, because you share that person with Lima Creek. So a lot more capacity is going to be needed to manage and do these projects. So we had talked about that in August as well. And that's where we had kind of peeled out different projects that are coming to be coming from the Water Resource Conservation could serve as a local project sponsor to take a lead on a couple of these projects. And so this is also consistent with your direction in August. That was that we would take the grant agreement administration and kind of administer a grant on behalf of the GSA. We would take the lead on the surface water supply recharge feasibility study, which has two pieces in it. It has a recharge investigation recharge side of it that also has the evaluation of surface water expanding the use of surface water in the Madison Basin for irrigation. So it's kind of a two-part project. And then the other one is the interbasin coordination modeling and reporting, which includes the interbasin coordination project, which is to evaluate the existing GSP powers in relation to our neighbors, updating the modeling to support all of this work. And then reporting, which includes reports, the fee study, some ideas along this line. So that's what we plan to bring us over to Camp and bring it to you in January that has those. And in order to be able to do that, even to be able to manage those projects, we anticipate staffing up with a grant with a couple of grant funded staff that will help manage the finances, the administration invoices for reporting, as well as project management. Right? Keep things on track and work around that in those projects. So from here, I think we see the remaining projects that are up in the upper right hand corner, right, that remain on the list of the Vine and GSA. One of those is the demand reduction strategies of the Vine and Sub-Basin. That is the combination of the extended orchard replacement program as well as the irrigation efficiency program. So these are clearly ag, foundationally ag-centered programs, right? And so one option to continue kind of the expansion of capacity to do these projects and really try to get the most out of them, which involves agency side shepherding of consultants, right? Consultants are hired to do technical work and produce the technicals and the documentation, and but it really does take the engagement of public really to see that and put in, as well as just local understanding of like, to get the most out of projects. So the possibility here is to partner with that potential groundwater users with the companies, the 501c3. That could take on and expand the capacity by managing the demand reduction strategies of the finance space. So the proposal here, or the idea for your consideration, is that's the biggest project. It's a $2.4 million project. Most of that project is, I think, $1.6 million is implementation costs. That's money out the door to landowners to participate in these programs. So we're not suggesting that funding would go through the APBC. There's no reason for that. The Vine and GSA, it's still on the Vine and GSA's project list, right? It would be a project with the Vine and GSA, the contract between the consultant and the GSA would be held by the GSA. So your board would remain from the decision-making body over that project. But the AGPC could provide staff time to really take advantage of the partnerships and relationships they already have with the agricultural community to guide the development and design of those programs, the energy replacement program and the irrigation efficiency program, the management consultant that would be doing that work, to take care of the grant and hosting and reporting piece of that project, and then also the outreach piece to really lead and facilitate small groups, partners, public workshops, and all of that that's going to go into really being able to design a program that's going to work with the agricultural community and result in saved water, right? That's the point of that program, is to reduce groundwater pollution, and this is part of the strategy for addressing the imbalance. So that's the potential here, is that you would essentially have two local project sponsors helping to implement these grant projects, our department to do those listed, and then AGUBC to do really take a lead on managing the demand reductions project, and then also to provide project management support to one of the projects we're taking a lead on, that's the surface water supply recharge feasibility study. And the reason for that is, again, that's a pretty expensive project in terms of we're talking about expanding water supply to agricultural users. It has to make sense for them, right? And landowners are going to be involved. And so, again, taking advantage of the relationship infrastructure that exists through the organization of AGPC, that project could occur. So, I know this is new idea for tonight. What we're looking for is for this direction on that. Do you want us to bring us a recipient agreement between the Vine GSA and the AGUBC to the board in January, consistent with that diagram we talked about? And secondly, as we implement this project over the next 2 years, it might be good to have kind of closer board input along the way. And so do you want to form an ad hoc committee to kind of weigh in on these projects along the way over the next couple of years?
Great. Thank you, Christina. Are there any questions from the board? I have four, so I just wanted to make sure that they could be longer. Okay, well, I'll ask it. If others want to ask, they can cut me off. First one is, I just want to clarify, make sure that I understand something you said. So in the response to DWR, we have a five-year window in which we have to do it, but you said at least. So that means almost akin to our GSP when we said if we get some data gaps filled, we have the latitude to do it earlier. Is this the same thing that at least means that we could do it before 5 years?
We could do it before 5 years. I think something that we're wrapping our head around, DWR has recently released guidance on GSP amendments, because we've often used this idea of a five-year update, five-year GSP update. That's not actually a thing within the law. What's in the law is the periodic evaluation and GSP amendments. So you have to do a periodic evaluation at least every 5 years. Anytime you do a GSP amendment, you also have to do a periodic evaluation. So there's a lot of sense to align those probably whenever possible. So that's kind of the idea, is that anything that is done that kind of constitutes a GSP amendment is also going to trigger a periodic evaluation. So I think we can get into the details more maybe next year. What I would suggest is that once we get a consultant on board for that GSP update project, they can really go through those recommended corrective actions, assess what is low-hanging fruit we can be kind of taking care of early, what's going to take analysis, and map out kind of the game plan, right? For taking, addressing those things over the next 2 years through that recommended project, and whether, you know, which things constitute a plan amendment, what can be taken care of in the evaluation, or what can be kind of given through board direction, even board intent, right? Like maybe it ends up in a GSP amendment in 2 years, but along the way, perhaps your board can provide direction that it's the intent that would be part of the agency. So I think there's more we can discuss about how that plays out, but hopefully that clarifies what that path is for.
Yeah, that does to me. Great. Second question, when we were talking about partners and other organizations, there's an other there. Hudson Water District yesterday got final approval for formation. So is Tustin Water District one of the people that fits in that other category, or do they have a special category because of their rights of the water district, irrigation by the water district? Third one, in the orchard replacement, you know, we did an application for orchard replacement to the state resource conservation board. We have the capability of refining that project and reapplying either for that type of grant or another grant, correct? This wasn't just the thing that that sunk us in the water because we didn't get that one grant, correct? Okay, great. Cool. And then finally, just about what you're talking about with the ad hoc committee, you're talking about having, I just want to make sure I understood the structure that you were thinking about, having, would it just be a non-quorum membership of our board, or are you talking about integrating and potentially chef members and others and having a broader ad hoc committee? Which were you thinking about?
I think a non-quorum of this board, the quorum ad hoc. But what I am thinking about and as we think about implementing these projects is the Water Commission form of that for recharge related and grant related projects that have come on the Weed County list. So I think certainly at times if there's multiple ad hocs of different bodies, you know, designated, they could be jointly, they could be separately. I think it's just a group of people that are dedicated to being kind of shepherding the project a little bit more closely for the next few years.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yes, it could meet jointly with folks from the
shop. Okay, good. That's what I just wanted to see, because that was what your request was. Or that's what it is. Great. Are there any public comments on this?
Yes, there are two. Jim Robert, followed by Colin Rollins.
Okay, great.
The Linda Channel Surface Water Recharge Project is one of the projects on this list. It's funded by the Department of Water Resource Grant and budgeted at $350,000 to manage flows in the natural channels to increase recharge. Linda Channel to utilize a natural landscape and stream system to increase recharge and provide benefits to shallow groundwater and groundwater storage. Well, for the past several years, beavers have been constructing a natural leaky dam just above the box gates that separate Big Chico Creek and Lindo Channel. This results in miles of stream flow in the Lindo Channel without causing any flooding problems. While this beaver diversion dam poses a problem during low flow summer conditions, there are no problems in the other seasons. It provides free of charge and free of legal consequences the potential benefits summarized in the robustly funded Lindo Channel Recharge Project. Unfortunately, the dam is periodically removed by government workers who are probably even unaware of the VINA GSP. I encourage you to take a field trip to the site and westward on Manzanita Avenue to see how nature is completing the task. The management committee should reach out to city, county, and state officials to alert them to the benefits of this beaver dam and request that they desist in removing it. According to Jeff Davids, proponent of the Lindo Channel project, I tend to agree that these types of dams are a lovely solution. In a big flood, they would be washed out with little or no flood consequences. But during normal flows, they help rewater Lindo Channel with the associated recharge and ecological benefits. If you're serious about using the Lindo Channel, it's happening. And I encourage you to take an action on this before they go and tear that little dam out again. I did include a photo of the dam in my comments that I sent to you. You can see the dam's this high. The water's still flowing down Big Chico Creek and flowing robustly down Lindo Channel as well. So please take my comments into consideration.
And Jim, when we discuss this, I assume we'll discuss this at a more granular level with my job, my company gets press releases, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife talked about how they moved some beavers from Sutter County up to
Plumas County. County.
Right. And so I'd be curious to hear the kind of the dovetail in that, whether that's part of what you were describing of the dams being done and whether they have moved them for that purpose.
No.
Or something.
No, they hunted all the beavers out of the meadows of the high mountain. And that has a whole different function. Meadow restoration and meadow maintenance has been severely depleted by removing the beaver. So the forest is moving into these otherwise giant meadows that store a tremendous amount of water that leaks slowly. In the case of the Feather River drainage, which the Plumas is, it feeds into Oroville Reservoir. This is going to help maintain those meadows. It's an absolutely wonderful water management scheme to get the beavers back up there, to keep the forest out of the meadows, and to keep the water in the meadows to leak out slowly. This is different in that it's diverting water and splitting the water right there at 5 Mile into Lindo Channel. And they're already there. We don't need to plant the beavers there. They already exist there.
Right. Yeah, I just want to make sure that I wasn't trying to correct something. So thank you for clarifying. Again, we'll probably discuss this in more detail, and that'll be great to have some more insight. So thank you.
I encourage you to take action soon, because I don't know which agencies were moving those dams, but as soon as they remove it, the Lindo Channel will go dry for probably about a month until the beaver is allowed to build the dam again. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Claudia?
First, Christina, could you post your slides? Because it's very hard for us to see them when we're there. Thanks. So I was reading over the plan finally, got right down to the appendices. And one of the appendices is comments from the public. And a whole lot of those were about anxiety, especially from domestic well users about the MO and the MT. And so in the master response to that, it says the GSP identifies an important data gap related to establishing those levels. And so then we got this grant and monitoring network enhancements, $400,000. So I just want to kind of encourage that will kind of go toward domestic well improvement.
Great. Thank you, Claudia. Mm-hmm. By the way, for those who don't know, Claudia is my alternate on this board, by board of supervisors. So what would you like someone to propose a motion about either or both of your items? That's okay. I'll open it up to my colleagues for either discussion or motion. Going down from what I'm hearing.
He wants to move both of these bullet points. Is that what you're looking for?
Sure.
Yeah, if you agree with
that. That's fine. I can move that we recommend that we move forward these two items.
Is there a second? Great. Director Reynolds seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay,
do you want to specify who would be on the ad hoc?
I don't think
we ought to do that at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something we need to think about.
Okay. Linda.
Board Member Wells. Board Member
Kinishi.
Aye. Board Member Cooper.
Aye.
Vice Chair Moyer.
Aye.
Chair Kaczynski.
Aye.
Thank you.
Unanimously. Communications and reports. Is there anything on that that we should talk about today, or should we go to closed session and postpone some of these? I'll defer to the folks who know what's in them.
I think it can just be a quick update. Do you want me to just dive in?
Okay, good.
Great, thank you. With regard to the GSA, I should say stakeholder committee applications, the applications for the SHAP are still open and being accepted through December 29th.
And so we hope to bring the appointments, if you recall, as part of the charter revisions that, you approved at the last meeting, that we will be appointing new SHAC members for those positions that have that will expire at the time that you reappoint new members probably at your next meeting in January. So that we are still accepting applications for those positions that would have been expired in October, November, and December of this year, but in January. So so just tell your friends if you want people to apply. We have received some applications to date.
Could you give just a quick positions? I remember three of them on my head. We have two ag positions, we have environmental position, and this is the business position.
The business, and if you recall, we also changed one of the positions to a rangeland person. So perfect. About four or five now. Yeah.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, the next one.
Next one, yeah.
So, and just so you know, that we have issued an RFP for the new a new fee study to be conducted in 2024. If you recall, this was kind of a condition that you guys made as part of the adoption of the fee for this fiscal year. So the RFP request for proposals was issued. Today was the closing date for submittal of those proposals. I wasn't at the office at 5 o'clock, so I don't know how many we received. I know there was at least one before I left this afternoon. So we anticipate going through reviewing those proposals. Depending on the number of proposals that we received, we'll determine if we will be conducting interviews or just ranking them and selecting a consultant for that. So hopefully we'll be bringing a contract to this board in January when we meet in January. To start that process. And then the next one will be Christina.
Yeah, so just as a member agency report out, the Water Commission back in response to an executive order that provided more clarity around the verdict flood flows for recharge. That started the discussion of Water Commission, which then resulted in a letter from the board supervisors to the Department of Water Resources SIGMO office regarding our intent to pursue opportunities for recharge, and also communicated our intent to put together a recharge action plan that would kind of outline those actions that we see could be tackled in the near term. And so that was drafted and discussed first by the Technical Advisory Committee in November, and then the Water Commission, because Water Commission discussed the draft recharge action plan at the meeting at the beginning of summer and has recommended that it be put on to the board supervisors for their consideration. So it has five main actions in it, many of which have implementation steps that could be carried out by these grant funded projects. So it's nice to have some ideas about actions and something to help advance them. But it is a relatively streamlined document, I think it's about 15 pages, that really tries to focus the conversation around, you know, what are our strategies and priorities for recharge in Butte County. But the focus is via sub-basin because this is what we have the biggest deficit. So I encourage you to check that out. And if you're interested, we expect it to go to the board supervisors that are
speaking. I can tell you have a PhD because you consider a 15-page document streamlined it. So. Are there any questions on any of the reports?
She originally thought it would just be 5 pages, so.
Pictures.
Oh, okay, good. Well, there we go. It's a picture book. Great. Well, thank you. So, unless there's any other comments here, we will adjourn to closed session now. I mean, we took Mr. Brobeck's comment earlier, and it echoed what he'd already submitted to write. And then I will come back and do a closed session report out. So if people want to chill and talk in the audience, I will be coming back, but feel free to go home. So with that, we'll go to closed session.
Okay.
But we have to put up 30 days, okay?
Well, we'll just record it. It'll come through at least on the video, right?
They're still connecting.
Okay. Do you want me to ask them if they can, maybe you can ask them if they can hear?
Hi there. Hildeman Carl William, can you hear us? If you can, if you could put a thumbs up.
Yes.
And it's connecting to audio. It still says it's connecting to audio.
Maybe he's gone.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to do the closed session announcement and I can always repeat it if need be. In the closed session on item 3.1, no final action was taken. Directions was given to council. On item 3.2, no final action was taken. Direction was given to council and staff. That concludes the closed session announcement. We are now adjourning to a meeting that will happen in January 2023, a specific date to be determined. Oh, I'm sorry, you know it already?
24.
Oh, it's January 24th.
No,
2024. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let me get this all again. I'm reading my script too literal. Okay, so the Avina GSA will adjourn to Avina GSA board meeting in January 2024, specific date to be determined at 5:30 p.m. at the City Council chambers. Thank you so much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Evan.